Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for meditation this morning comes from St. Luke's book of Acts, the 20th chapter that we heard read earlier. In case you didn't notice the theme in the service so far, today is also known as Good Shepherd Sunday. Every year on the fourth Sunday of Easter, our gospel text comes from the 10th chapter of St. John's Gospel, which is also known as the Good Shepherd chapter. Jesus says, "I am the Good Shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, and I lay down my life for the sheep." It's a little bit of a dichotomy there. Jesus is the Good Shepherd. But at the same time, he's also our sacrificial Lamb of God, who handed himself over into death to take away the sins of the world. And by virtue of faith given you and sustained in the preaching of the gospel, you know the Good Shepherd, and the Good Shepherd knows you. You hear his voice, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, you follow him. And I, as an under-shepherd, I implore you to read, mark, learn, and take to heart Jesus' threefold promise. He says to you, "I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand." The King of Love, your shepherd is, whose goodness faileth never. He gives eternal life to you, and not one person, not one demon, not even hell can snatch you out of his nail-scarred hand. He's one with the Father and with the Holy Spirit, who together are the cause and defenders of your faith and your salvation. Even the gates of hell can't pry you free from his love. It cannot pry you away from your triune God. Well, that is, as long as you don't allow yourself to be drawn away from the flock. But the fellow asks, "What good is a good shepherd who is so far away? Your shepherd is up in heaven," and that is a fair question, because as we heard in our second reading, Jesus is in heaven. 40 days after his resurrection, he ascended into heaven and is now seated at the right hand of the Father. In our gradual, we heard that the Father has crowned him with glory and honor, putting everything in subjection under his feet. St. John gave us a glimpse of that glorious heavenly feast in his kingdom, which has no end. All those saints who have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb, all who have been baptized, are now worshiping the Lamb before his throne in heaven. And in the midst of the throne, the Lamb continues to lovingly shepherd his people. John writes, they shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any scorching heat, and he will guide them to springs of living water, and God will wipe every tear from their eyes. So it is true, your shepherd is in heaven, but to be sure, your shepherd is not far removed. He comes to you in this place in the divine service. Because just as sure as Jesus is both shepherd and sacrificial lamb, and just as sure as Jesus is one with the Father, your shepherd comes to you right here in his own divine means, administered by his under-shepherds in the vocation of the office of the Holy Ministry. The Bible has many names for these under-shepherds. In the Lutheran Church, we usually call them pastors. In our first reading, Paul calls them overseers. Paul writes to the Corinthians and he calls them servants. He says, this is how one should regard us, as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. In another letter to the Corinthians, Paul says, therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. The interesting thing about a steward or an ambassador is he does not own what he manages. He always takes care of something that belongs to someone else. The mysteries that are administered by the under-shepherd, well, they belong to God. They're his mysteries, and they're his good gifts that he gives to his holy church. So they also belong to the church. And because God is a God of good order, the church calls the overseer to administer these precious mysteries. So whether you call them pastors or overseers, servants or administrators, or ambassadors, God calls his pastors, his under-shepherds, to faithfully administer his mysteries by proclaiming the gospel in its full purity and administering the sacraments according to their institution. And God himself will hold these overseers accountable on the last day for the work that they have done. And that's why in our first reading, Paul says this. He says, I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all of you, for I did not shrink away from declaring to you the whole counsel of God. Paul knows he has proclaimed law and gospel. He's called the people back to repentance and faith in God. He's not shrinking from declaring to you anything that was profitable and teaching in public and from house to house, testifying to both Jews and to Greeks of repentance toward God and of faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul knows that he has done his job that God had called him into. His course is coming to a close, and he knows that he has rightfully proclaimed the gospel in its full purity. And if any of those people he has preached to is found guilty on Judgment Day, the blood is not on Paul's hands. The blood is on that person's hands. And now, before leaving the church, he instructs the elders from Ephesus, these new overseers, to do likewise. Paul says, pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. In a nutshell, Paul is telling the overseers, do your job. He's telling the pastors to do their job according to God's command. Carry out your vocation just as anyone else carries out their vocation in the world today. Be you a butcher, a baker, or a candlestick maker, you must do what you are called to do. So you stay focused on what's most important. You're supposed to be focusing on what you're supposed to be, on what you're doing, and not get distracted by all the changes and pressures and the whims of this earthly life. Don't get diverted and derailed by those who promise quick shortcuts or quick fixes. Holy Scripture is clear what the pastor's job is. But Scripture is also clear what the job of the Christian is. Jesus urges Christians to do their job with this warning. He says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. But the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Jesus is saying, dear Christian, do your job. It is the Christian's job to do the will of the Father. And what firstmost is the will of the Father? You're called to be hearers of the word. And you're also called to be doers of the word. But the hearing comes first because faith comes through hearing and hearing through the word of Christ. You're saved by the gospel of Jesus. You're saved by God's grace, and that grace is received to you and held on to through faith. You cannot earn God's favor apart from your faith, apart from believing and trusting in Jesus and his sacrificial death and resurrection, his promise of forgiveness and salvation. Scripture teaches that you are justified by faith apart from your works of the law. But that blessed gift of grace for the sake of Jesus is not a license for Christian laziness. It's not a license for not doing your job. Hearing and doing go hand in hand. Faith is not the opposite of works, but your works are evidence of your faith. St. James writes in his epistle, faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. So do your job. And what is that job? Well, you've got off to a great start this morning because here you are. Here is where God's word is proclaimed. This is where you are trained up to listen to and hear the voice of the Good Shepherd. You need to hear God's word proclaimed in its purity. Refusing to hear God's word is a sin against the third commandment. So you need to hear your pastor preach law and gospel. And then when the law accuses you of your sin, repent. Repent and be reconciled to God and hear his absolution. You need to be baptized and believe. You need to eat of the Lord's body and drink of his blood. You need to give of yourself, helping the weak. Give of yourself physically and financially to support the ongoing ministry of the Christian church so that the gospel might be continued to be proclaimed in this place. Most of all, you need Jesus, your shepherd and overseer of your soul. So do your job. Your good shepherd warns against those distractions and fleeting ideas out there in the world. He warns against thieves who wish to steal and destroy the sheep. He warns of hirelings who at the first sight of danger flee for their lives, allowing the sheep to be scattered. He warns of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but are inwardly the ravenous wolves who you will recognize them by their fruits. St. Paul in our earlier text calls them fierce wolves who will come in among you, not sparing the flock, and from among your own selves will arise men speaking twisted things. There are a lot of twisted ideas out there in the world today, especially when it comes to matters of faith. You can join churches today where you can hear whatever you want to hear. There's even a church of the flying spaghetti monster. It is a tax-free church. You can join churches that will accept any lifestyle, and they will never talk about sin, and they'll never talk about repentance, and they'll entertain you while they're doing it. Many are concerned more about social issues in the world rather than word and sacrament, forgiveness and salvation. God alone knows the heart of the believer. And while many will call out, "Lord, Lord," and have hundreds in attendance and the pews packed, dear Christian, do not be distracted by the twisted things said in the world. Hear the voice of your good shepherd. Do your job. Brothers and sisters, my job as overseer is to faithfully preach the gospel, to teach the word of God, and to administer Christ's sacraments. My job is to heed the Lord's warning given through St. Paul to declare the whole counsel of God, calling people to repentance, admonishing, and most especially forgiving you of your sins. I'm to pay attention to all the flock and care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own precious blood. My job is to warn you about not just cute-looking wolves that you see in magazines, but about ravenous and fierce wolves and twisted things. Warn you of the false teachers and teachings which stand in the way of you doing your job as Christian and hearer of God's word. Your job is to hear the voice of the shepherd. Hear God's word and let the Holy Spirit enlighten you with his gifts and sanctify you, keeping you in the one true faith. It's your job to read the word and learn it so you can confess it and pray it and teach it to your children, letting it reign in your hearts and in your homes. Your job is to hear the voice of the good shepherd and follow him, rejecting false teachers and teachings. Flee from those who teach you to be lazy about your faith, receiving cheap grace. Those who teach you to focus your eyes on the pleasures of the world rather than the things of God. Your job is to teach your children and your grandchildren that there is nothing more important in this world than God's word, the power of his word and his life-saving sacraments, the importance of living in Christ, because Jesus alone gives eternal life, and no one can snatch you out of his nail-scarred hand. So do your job. Do not be deceived. While the world might look like it has all the power, no, God's word is where the power resides. And while it is, you will find happiness in this temporary life, true joy is found in God's word. True joy is found in eternity, where your good shepherd will lead you to springs of living waters, where he will wipe every tear from your eye. So stay focused on what's important. Serve others. Hear the voice of the good shepherd, for he alone gives eternal life. So in conclusion, with St. Paul's words, I now commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified. By working hard in this way, we must help the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he himself said, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." Alleluia, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.